in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. In our Easter celebration, let us give thanks for the gift of baptism and new life. Good and gracious God, in the beginning of creation, your Spirit moved over these waters, and by your word, you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family, and through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your Son was baptized, and by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as your sons and daughters, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life. We praise you for the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. We praise you for the freedom of sin and death. And above all, we praise you for the free gift of new life in Jesus Christ, that through the holy resurrection, you have brought forth a new creation. Today and every day, renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
us pray. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, that we may live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
First reading is from Acts, the 10th chapter. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 118 responsively with me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation.
There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord.
The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord, and the righteous shall enter through it. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. For if this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as long as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. But each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father. After he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter, he got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. An idle tale. There is just so much fuss over Easter, isn't there? Look at you all. You put on a little bit better than your normal Sunday best today. You woke up early, you did your hair, well, some of you did your hair. You show up here and there's flowers adorning the sanctuary. We can smell the lilies from the parking lot. Some of us don't like the smell, but I digress. I mean, can I get an hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Christ is risen. Good enough. I can get you to break out of your Lutheran shells. Why? Because it's Easter. Gone are those drab days of Lent. We put away those minor keys for a while. Adam, if we plan anything that's in a minor key, don't play it. Right? We put away those. No more of this pastor lecturing you, repent or else. No more of the pastor telling you to go sit at the foot of the cross and think about what you've done, right? No more of that right now, because it's Easter. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. But seriously, what's all the fuss about? For what? An idle tale? That's what it's called. These women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and I guess some women who aren't important enough to even be named, they come back and report what they'd seen and what they'd heard, and the apostles, they think it's nothing more than an idle tale. All this, all these flowers, all the hallelujahs, all these, this pretending you're not Lutheran today, because of some apparently not to believe women telling an idle tale. Well, don't I just feel silly for wearing a white dress today? The disciples, they are grieving today. They are grieving the loss of a teacher and a friend. The Messiah, the one who was supposed to save them from the save them and all of the Jewish people. From the Romans. They're exhausted. They are afraid. And these women who went to the tomb, they had one job to do. They show up with spices and they are there to do what? To anoint a dead body. But instead they return shouting, "He is risen!" And the disciples, they surely don't respond, "He is risen indeed, hallelujah, so I don't know why you're doing it." No, they shout, "Liars!" Right? That's what they told them. Is this a joke to you? Is the is the crucifixion a joke? Why would you make this kind of thing up? To them, this is more than just an idle tale. It is a cruel lie. Imagine then that this emotional roller coaster that these women are on. First, they show up to an empty tomb, which is surely a surprise. Mary and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James and the others, they don't go to the tomb with spices, thinking to themselves, well, we're going to take this bowl of spices just in case Jesus is dead. No, they know that Jesus is dead. That's why they're there. They went to anoint a dead body, not a living one. So when they show up to the tomb and find that the tomb is open and empty, it is surprising. It's shocking, and frankly, it's unbelievable. And these two men in dazzling white, I gotta say, I don't think they're all that helpful, right? The first thing, just their appearance, causes what to happen? These women to fall to the ground in terror. And then the next thing that they say, also not that helpful, they start speaking in riddles. Why do you look for the living among the dead? What is that supposed to even mean? He died. I watched him die. I'm looking for a dead person. You see the spices? I'm anointing him. And then they say, remember, he told you this would happen. And they're like, yeah, but we didn't believe him. And then they start scratching their heads and they're like, okay, well, maybe we sort of remember what he said would happen. But it doesn't really make sense because we watched him die. No one gets murdered on a cross and then returns to life. We saw him die. But as the gravity of what they are seeing or not seeing, the tomb is empty, and what these men have told them and their dazzlingness, and now they're kind of sort of slowly putting the pieces together, remembering the stories that Jesus told them, it starts to sink in, and they start to put it all together. And as surprising as it all is, as unbelievable as it all is, what do? They go tell about it. They go proclaim this good news. They return from the empty tomb and they proclaim to the 11, Jesus is not dead. Hallelujah, he is risen. And they respond,
he is risen.
No, they don't say that. They say liar. Thank you, Tracy. They say liars. They say we saw him die. And I tell you what, this is, it has to be deflating. It has to be deflating. Now they are just questioning everything that they saw and heard at that tomb. Everything that they had just racked their brain trying to think of what Jesus had said. And the disciples, they are confused and very angry. The good news, it is right there. It has been proclaimed. It is beckoning to them. It's burning their hearts. But they are in the throes of death, and they are utterly lost. Good thing we don't know what it's like to be lost. Unless we do. I think in our personal lives, we've known that feeling to be in utter despair, being just completely lost. As churches, we long for what has been lost, what is currently being lost. We know that Christianity is on the decline in the U.S. We know that in our Lutheran churches, we are part of those mainline denominations, and it is worse for us, right? We are shrinking even faster. We are getting older, though not you. Not any of you are getting older. We are getting older. Churches are dying. We see churches dying. We see it. We know it. We feel it. And we fear it. There is no quick fix or cure to this. like the disciples on that Easter morning, we continue to gather. Like the disciples, we show up and we continue to tend to our dead. But we don't know what to do next. We are afraid, perplexed, confused, and angry. We don't know what the future holds for us. Could it be death? Ultimately, for us as individuals, it will be. For our churches, we don't know. But I assure you that the good news amid all of it is beckoning, because there is an empty tomb, and from that empty tomb, there is good news crying out. In their confusion, in their fear, in their unbelief, Mary, Joanna, Mary, the rest of these women, they left that tomb. They returned to the disciples and were the first to proclaim the good news of the resurrection. He is risen, they proclaimed. But to them, this was just an idle, stupid, useless tale. And we know how that story ends, right? The women, they lose hope. Maybe these apostles, they were the closest to Jesus. Maybe they're right. Maybe this is just an idle tale, they think. In their fear, these former disciples, they give up on this whole Jesus thing. They say, this is stupid. And then they go back to Galilee and they return to fishing or whatever else. And they don't proclaim this good news. And what happens? The community dies out, right? Somebody please say no. Of course this doesn't happen. Because the good news was right there proclaiming from the grave the whole time. And it took one person. It took one person to believe it. Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Sorry, one person after the women already believed it, to be very clear. Peter got up and ran to the tomb. He stooped down and he looked in. He saw those linen cloths by themselves and he went home. He was amazed at what had happened. All because these women proclaimed the good news in the midst of what? In the midst of fear and terror. They were afraid, and still they were brave enough, courageous enough to proclaim that good news. There is one who heard it when it was proclaimed. He heard it just a little differently than the rest, maybe because he needed this good news. To him, it was no idle tale. This one, he was really down and out, right? He was lost and so despairing. I mean, he and Jesus, they were in this thing together to the end. He was the rock on which Jesus would build his church. And when Jesus needed him the most, what happened? He crumbled. He denied even having known Jesus. So Peter, you see, he was in the pit of the despair. He was stuck in the desolation of what was then not called Good Friday. He was stuck at the cross, and he was afraid, and he was alone. And then he heard this whisper of good news. And as unbelievable as it sounded, as surprising and ridiculous and as absurd of a proclamation as it was, it offered just a little bit of hope, and that was enough. And he couldn't help himself because the good news, it was crying out from the grave. And I gotta tell you, for some, this will always seem an idle tale. We can do nothing about that. We can only keep proclaiming it and pray that the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit will do. But I will tell you, there are so many more out there that long to hear any kind of good news. And this is the good news that we know they need to hear. They need to hear this good news. And when we tell this story, we tell it so that the good news of Jesus Christ crucified and risen will cry out to them in whatever place of desolation they find themselves in. And it will bring them from death into new life. That is what brings us to this place. That is what brings us to this church. That is what brings us here. And if it brings them here, and if it brings us new life here, then absolutely great, that's wonderful. But that's not why we tell the story. We tell it for the good of God's world and God's creation. I have to tell you, my dear siblings in Christ, it is a joy to stand up here and proclaim this good news to you. And I don't do it from a place of fear, because I am not afraid for us. I am not afraid for the church. I am not afraid for Christianity. I am not. The surprising good news of our Christian faith is that when we die, we will die as people. When our churches die, churches will come and they will go and they will be reborn in new ways. This is never the end. It is never the end for us. The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty, and therefore we know that our God always, always, always brings new life out of death. And that is absolutely why we make such a big fuss out of this whole Easter thing. The cross, the empty tomb, they reveal that we can never fully know what God is up to. We don't know what God is up to. This is the surprising thing that keeps us coming back here for more and more and more. And I got to tell you, this is the surprising. Come on. There. That is the surprising good news of Easter. The good news is crying out from an empty tomb. I just wonder, can you hear it? Can you hear the good news crying out? I do. Because Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sure would love it if some kids helped clean us up.
Thank you.
continue our service. All the fuss today continues to be about other things as well, which includes the baptism of two young folks today. Maddie is one, and we will baptize her first. And Drew is second. We will baptize him. Well, obviously, I just said it second. And then all three, Jake, who is the oldest and way tall, and then Maddie and Drew will all take communion for the first time today as well. So today is kind of a big deal. So let us begin. Are you all ready to answer some fun questions and stuff? They're very hard. In baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father frees us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity, and by water and the Holy Spirit, we are reborn children of God and made members of the church, the body of Christ. Living with Christ and in the communion of saints, we grow in faith and love and obedience of the will of God. So I ask, who presents Maddie and Drew Bickert for baptism? All right. You heard them, right? They do. Maddie and Drew, called by the Holy Spirit and trusting in the grace of God, do you desire to be baptized into Christ? They said yes. We heard it. Maddie and Andrew, as you receive this, the gift of baptism, you are entrusted with certain responsibilities to live among God's faithful people, to come to hear the word of God and partake in the Holy Supper, to learn the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments, to study our Holy Scriptures, to be nurtured in faith and prayer so that you may learn to trust God, to proclaim Christ through word and deed, to care for others and the world God has made, and to work for justice and peace in this creation. Do you promise to do your very best, even though you will fail sometimes, to live in the Christian faith and life? Please, if so, please respond, I do. Ryan and Aaron, do you promise to nurture Madeline, Maddie, and Drew in the Christian faith as you are empowered by God's Spirit and to help them live in the covenant of baptism and in the communion with the church? If so, please respond, I do. And you all are not off the hook. People of God, do you promise to support Maddie and Andrew and pray for them and their new life in Christ? If so, please respond, we do.
We do.
That was pretty good. So to this assembly, I ask you to stand in body or in spirit as we together profess our shared faith in Jesus Christ, as we reject sin and confess the faith of God, faith of the church. So I ask, do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? If so, please respond, I renounce them. Do you renounce the powers of the world that rebel against God? If so, please respond, I renounce them. Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? If so, please respond, I renounce them. I renounce them. They're good. All right, now. Sorry, it's not just sit up, stand, sit, stand, sit, stand. It's turn and look at the wall. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, you saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Not yet. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, holy God. You are the creator of the waters of the earth. You are the fire of rebirth. You poured out your spirit on your people Israel. You breathed life into our dry bones. Your Son promised to send the Spirit to us that the world may know your peace and truth. Pour out your Holy Spirit and breathe new life into Maddie and Andrew. By your Spirit, adopt us as your children through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now. Are you ready? Oh, wait. Let me get the little towel thingy. Maddie Bickert, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sorry. Drew, it's your turn. Drew Bickert, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come back over here. I still haven't figured out how to do a baptism here. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you give your daughters and sons new birth, cleanse them from sin, and raise them to eternal life. All right, Maddie, if I can get the oil open, I need you again. Sustain Maddie with the gift of your Holy Spirit and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence both now and forever. Amen. Madeline, child of God, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. He knows what's up now, right? Come on forward. Sustain Drew with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. Andrew, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. This is a baptismal candle, and with this candle, we remember Christ's call to us. Jesus says that I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. Let us welcome the newly baptized. I don't remember if we put that up there as a reply all or... Nope. Okay, so I'll say it. We welcome you into the body of Christ. So on behalf of the congregation, we welcome you into the body of Christ and into the mission we share. Join us in giving thanks and praise to God and bearing God's creative and redeeming word to all the world. Please join me in congratulating the newly baptized. And as they return to their seats, we will sing, "We Are Baptized in Christ Jesus." And I just want you to listen to the words of that as you're singing it. We are baptized into his death, that as Christ is raised victorious on such an idle day like this, as Christ is raised victorious, we may have new life. So, Drew and Maddie, welcome to your new life in Jesus Christ. Are there any additional prayers this morning for our prayers of intercession?
Jerry.
Your brother Jerry, okay? Yes, sir. Claudia. Let us pray. God of resurrection and new life, we come before you in prayer for the church, for the world, and for all who are in need.
Empower new life among the nations. As you raise Jesus from the dead, bring new hope for peace and reconciliation in places of war and strife, especially in Russia, Ukraine, and across the Middle East. Raise up leaders who are steadfast in their commitment to justice and transformation. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Bring new hope among all who are in need, especially neighbors without homes or food, and those whose housing or food supply is at risk. Bring healing to all who are fearful, ill, or grieving, especially Fred and Betty, Chuck, Jim, Fred, Jeff, Judy, Margaret, Jean, Kevin, David, Barb, Jennifer, Beth, Nancy, Krista, Dave, AJ, Caden and his family, Linda, Haley, Paige, Sandy, Scott, Ed, Tina, Bobby, Jim. We lift Carol, Jerry, and Claudia, and those that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Awaken new life in this place. Open our hearts to ways you are calling us to be at work in the world. Here in northwestern Ohio, across Carford County, in Galleon, in the neighborhoods surrounding First Lutheran. Embolden us to proclaim Christ crucified and risen in both word and deed to one another and to those in our community who so desperately need to hear this good news. God of grace,
hear our prayer. We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God, trusting that you are always with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. Because we make such a big fuss on this day, I allowed you to have recess longer. But we do now have to continue with our gifts and our offerings.
Risen One, you have gathered us around your table of grace, along with these gifts we bring. Come among us again, breathe your life into us, and enliven us with this meal, that we may live as your risen body in the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, who is the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Joanna and the other Mary and with Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy,
he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It is the risen one who comes to meet us at this table. So come, all of you, eat, drink, and be made new.
Oh, This is the body of Christ broken for you.
May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Living one, in this feast you have made yourself known to us. Send us now to tell of your wonders, sing of your glory, and proclaim your risen life to a wounded and weary world. Amen.
Amen. All right, a few announcements. We'll keep them brief. Adam, do you mind hopping down? I didn't tell you this. Do you mind hopping down to the piano for a second? Trust me, you know the song. So while he's doing that, let's see. First of all, congratulations to the whole Bickert family. So. During our sending hymn, we will be collecting a noisy offering for our Community Connections Expo, which is coming up at the end of May. So April and May will go to that. We continue to collect for the food pantry, CCSG. If you are able to sign up to work a little bit with the CCSG, Tuesdays, Thursdays, 1 to 3 p.m. There's a sign-up sheet out there. Take a look at that. And oh, he's back at the piano. All right, cool. Oh, is there another one? Yes.
There's an Easter basket in the gathering area. The Easter eggs are filled. Those are for the kids, and then anybody can have them in the pantry.
Okay, so Easter eggs in the Easter basket for the kids. And then, are you? Everything else is for everyone else. So, please feel free to grab that. Thank you to the Hope team on that. And so it says here that Evelyn Smith turned 29. 29? 96. 96 yesterday. I'm pretty sure Adam has played Happy Birthday for us before, so if he could do it again. Is risen.